You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. I'm 17 here on the West Coast. 12:17. I'm cutting into lunchtime, so with apologies, Pat and Patty. Sorry if I'm screwing up your lunch plans, but this is a great interview with stuff you don't hear every day. So my guest today is a retired Marine Corps, a retired Army captain, infantryman, Pat Horan, and he was wounded, gunshot wound to the head in Iraq in 2007. And so we're talking to he and his wife Patty and Bob Nielsen. So first of all, again, I just want to thank you guys for doing this, and it's awesome stuff. What next question? So what about you guys go home, and Pat, your life slowly but surely over the course of years returns to normal. What are you going to do? When it comes to what am I going to do for the rest of my life? What were your thoughts about that?
For some reason, I just knew that, even when I was after I retired, but I think Patty still wanted me to continue to get better. And, so we're going to Walter Reed for almost like 4 more years. And then, I started going to this one place that's like, right by, 5 miles away from, it's in Vienna, Virginia. It's called the Stroke Comeback Center. And it's, you go there, and I was going once a day. And you go there, and you just practicing talking again. So, I have a blog that I have, and I don't send it out. Like, I do it like every 3 months or something, I do one, but I have to practice writing again.
Okay.
So, and then they did one for, another hour you do for, can't say the word, but like reading a book. So you're practicing reading again. So stuff like this. So I've been doing that for like 5 years, and that's a great place. So.
Mike, it's pretty hard writing a blog when you can't read. Think about that.
Or right, yeah.
So, Pat, I mean, it must be incredibly frustrating, things that you used to do that, you know, we don't even think about, that all of a sudden you don't know how to do them anymore. How do you deal with that frustration? I mean, it must be, you know, there must be days when you just want to take something and smash it through the wall. I mean, and I'll tell you what, and as fortunate as you were, I mean, it doesn't come without the frustration of living with what, you know, your injury for the rest of your life. I know I have anger issues. Do you have anger issues, not only relative to your combat, but to your injury and not being able to do the things that you want to do? How do you deal with the mental part of that?
I always thought it's because I'm like 100% Irish, but Patty says it.
And a sense of humor.
Patty says that some of the medicine, one of the medicines, because I don't know, I have to take two types of medicine for epilepsy, and one of them is not a good one. You end up getting mad quick. So, but that's one. But then I need to like go sit in the other room and just breathe again and relax, and then I'm like, okay, I need to be like grown up person again. So, that's the thing that happens. And I guess the one thing I haven't really got to tell you about yet, but like. Almost 5 years ago, I got a working dog, and his good old Wilson, and he's just like the greatest dog I've had. My Patty loves Wilson too, and all these friends when I go walking around Walter Reed, they like Wilson, like all these people, and he's such a laid back dog. And sometimes if I'm really just like frustrated or something, I can just like sit down with Wilson and just take it easy because he likes to sit and sleep until it's time to go.
He sounds like my dog, Jack.
Yeah.
My dog's not a therapy dog, but he provides it for me. I mean, he goes everywhere with me. In fact, on your blog, I saw Wilson's perspective. I thought, who the hell is Wilson? But I'm curious, Pat, tell me, like you mentioned Wilson, are there other things that you that happened that you look back and said, that was incredibly beneficial to me? I needed that. I didn't know it at the time, but that would turn out to be a big deal in my life. Other than Wilson, are there other things? You talked about the rehab center. Are there other things that you would tell us that these things made huge differences in my life?
You know, it sounds really ridiculous, but I'm not great at thinking. I can always think about it, like, later tonight or tomorrow. But
sorry, you can call me if you do think about it.
Okay. We, like Bob was telling you, for, like, the last 8 years, we've done the Army 10-miler race, and I get to where I use my trike. It's a bike, and we have a team. It's called Pat's Team, and, like, I don't know, it's gotten better and better, and I don't know how we always have, like, we do the race, and then all the aunts and uncles I know from, like, New Jersey and all places, they show up, you know, just for the, and then we have a party, like, right afterwards. We have a party for, like, 3 hours. But, like, last year, we had, like, almost, like, 90 people did the race. I mean, that's a lot of, I mean, that's out of control. I didn't know this many people, you know? And then we have more party afterwards, and that's even more people show up. So, I mean,
people that Pat served with before he was injured.
And then people that you've touched and met since then, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. People along the way. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us, so what are you doing now? And talk to me, Pat, about the kind of the title on top of your website. It says Pat's Back, and then it says How to Live the Good Life After TBI.
Yeah.
So,
Michael, can I interject a quick story here?
No. Pat's, you're in the Pat's corner, Nilsson. You be quiet. Okay.
I got to give you a quick story. Pat's been coming to the classes we do with 100 entrepreneurs.
Right.
And in the early days, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he'd sit in the back of the room and not say anything. And then one day, I'm driving home from the class, and I get a phone call from Pat's mobile phone. He never called me on the phone before. And Pat says to me, "You know, Bob, that speaker you had today was full of baloney." And he proceeded to tell me that this guy didn't know what he was talking about. And what was amazing to me was Pat was 100% right, and nobody else in the class picked it up. I was nervous as hell because I knew the guy was full of baloney. But Pat picked it up. Pat sees things that nobody else sees, and he's extremely observant. And I think that's part of how we became good friends, with that and his sense of humor.
It always takes me 3 or 4 or 5 hours, then I finally understand. I mean, that's the way TBI is, you know. But, you know, that's the thing. I get frustrated sometimes, but I guess more and more, like, Patty is, like, asking me to do stuff around the house and help. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff. Like, this summer we're going to have a party, because that's kind of, we're having a party for my 10 years of my alive day. Right. So he's like asking me to get this stuff done, and I'm like, I'm trying to get done, but it's really slow, and like, it's you know, he just gets, that's where I get starts getting frustrated at stuff, but I shouldn't, because I can't inside. And every day when I wake up in the morning, I'm so happy because I'm still alive. Doctors, everybody, they were the ones did not think I was going to live at all, like when I was in Bethesda and stuff. So I really can't. If I get really mad about stuff and get mean and everything, then I have to look at myself and just be like, "You're not supposed to be alive. You got to be happy." You know?
Does that happen? I know it happens to the rest of us. And the other thing I want to ask you about, Pat, is, you know, one of the things about being wounded that I've learned, you know, and I went to Iraq the first time in 2004, out in Ramadi, Fallujah. Is that, you know, after you're wounded, all the different medications that you get, trying to get those somehow or other to balance out and not only do what they're supposed to be doing, but not drive you crazy. That's no small part of this. I can only imagine some of the drugs that you have to be on. Is that a frustrating piece of this?
You know, I don't want to be like a jerk, but I mean, I'm not. I have no idea how and how that worked or whatever. I only have to take two medicines. In the morning, I take something for epilepsy, and at night, I take a different one for epilepsy, and that's it. That's the only ones. So I don't have headaches. I don't have, like, it's the weirdest thing.
That's it?
The only thing I take and I want to take is vitamin C. So this is one of those things, again, when I just have to be thankful, you know? I just have to be thankful, you know, all the time. So yeah.
Well, a lot of it is due to Chicago. That was really their theory. When you have all this medication sitting on your brain, how do you recover? So they really stripped most of it when we got there. And we really haven't added much back in.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you, you look back on that, and Patty, how fortunate was, you know, it was your hard work, but, I mean, that tends to be one of the major issues. You know, you can go get therapy and whatnot, but then there's a whole nother step in there when it comes to, okay, now we're going to try to get off these meds, and it tends to be, you know, extremely difficult for people to do that.
It is, and I think that their theory is right, just from what we've seen, that as early as, you know, as they could, they got him off of everything, including, you know, he was on heavy-duty opioids in the beginning, so.
Wow. All right, let me ask all three of you, and I'll start with Bob. Bob, what haven't I been smart enough to ask about this whole journey that the Horans have gone on? And they're not alone in this. Certainly everybody that suffers a traumatic brain injury in combat comes back and goes down that road. And as you said, no two roads are alike. What haven't I been smart enough to ask that you want to talk about?
The only point I would bring up is I hope anybody that knows anybody with traumatic brain injury listens to this in the podcast, because there's so much good stuff in what Pat and Patty are saying, and we got to share it. There's no book on how to deal with this. There's no reference book in the library. And sure, you can go on the internet and get lots of baloney, but listen to what Pat and Patty are saying. There's ways to deal with this. And constant PTOT therapy works. The Stroke Comeback Center, Pat participates in the blog on the Stroke Comeback Center, where they talk about the issues we're talking about. You can get it on iTunes. There is help by sharing ideas.
Patty, let me ask you kind of a question relative to that. Do you get contacted a lot by people that have had traumatic brain injuries and say, hey, what should I do? Could you help me?
We do, off and on. We do, because people will refer other people to us, which we're happy to help.
Right.
Because it's a hard road, and it's nice to have resources, that's for sure. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Patty, is there something that I haven't asked you that you'd say, hello, Mac, should ask me this, but you think we ought to bring up and let people know?
Well, you were asking Pat about, you know, what do you do now and what's your purpose? And I think that really, that gets to the heart of the matter. I mean, Pat's kind of talking around it, but we're still trying to figure that out. And it's very difficult, especially for these guys with TBI,
right,
to kind of figure out, what do I do with the rest of my life? And what do I have to offer now? And it's still a big question for Pat. And I think it's a place where nonprofits and the government and all of us could spend some extra money and some extra time, because it matters. These guys, they work so hard to get better, and now they need something else. They need something else to look forward to, a reason to get up in the morning. So I think there's a big gap there, and so I like working with Bob at 100 Entrepreneurs, because I feel like, we're, you know, with us, our little group, trying to fill that gap a little bit.
Okay. So just the whole question of what is next for somebody with a traumatic brain injury, and that we have the resources there that they need in order to have those kind of options.
Yeah, I mean, We have, we've used Wounded Warrior Project set up the independence program,
uh-huh.
and it's new, and we're using it a bit. So that's a little bit of an answer where they send a mentor out to your house 10 hours a week to take these guys out in the community, to do goal setting, just to help them figure it out. Because as a wife, it's difficult. Believe me, I've tried, but it doesn't always work out that well. So that's, you know, that's one group that they're trying to fill the gap. The VA is a little bit difficult. We went there to try to use some of their services for voc rehab, and Pat didn't qualify because of the nature of his injury. They have an independence program, but I don't know that they have the money and the staffing to really support it.
How does Pat not qualify for every program in the country?
Well, I guess he's too low level for voc rehab because he's not going to go out and get a job. So they have this alternative program called the independence program themselves, but I think it could use some funding and maybe some extra staffing. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. So let me ask you about that, Patty. Do you think that there's enough resources devoted to that part of what do you do for the rest of your life? In this whole TBI journey?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And it's difficult. It's expensive to help
right.
a guy like Pat figure that out. It takes man hours. It takes time. It takes hand-holding, especially on the front end. I think if you do a lot of work on the front end, then it could probably manage itself. But it's probably very expensive. But there aren't enough resources.
Okay. Well, I don't care if it's expensive, you know. Pat donated it, you know, his life for his country. So I guess when I hear somebody say, well, we think we've done enough, and then I hear a spouse say, yeah, there's not enough resources, then guess what, you know, it's kind of what I feel when Bob was talking about. I don't know if you've heard this read the story about the water contamination down at Camp Lejeune. Down at Camp Lejeune. Oh, yeah, they had fuel and all kinds of stuff, lead in the water for years. And they were told about it. And they didn't do anything. And people drank this stuff and drank this stuff and drank this stuff. And so there was a big settlement. And Bob tells a story about sitting around a table. And what was the story, Bob? That what did the general say? That, you know, about the money that would be involved in it if they took care of everybody?
Oh, it's billions of dollars. It's a lot of money, but they finally have decided by an act of Congress that if you got any one of six kinds of cancer, it's caused by the water, which only goes to prove I should have drank more beer at Camp Lejeune.
than you already did. No, so you hear stuff like that, and it's like, well, we don't have the money. It's like, wait a minute, you know, these people gave
you
their...
You created the problem.
Yeah, you got to be responsible. I don't care how much money it costs. Patty, one thing, is there anything that we didn't talk about today that you'd like to talk about after you commented on Bob's?
No, I think we've covered most everything.
Wow. Well, that means I'm halfway decent at what I'm doing. If people are looking for help, Patty, how do they get a hold of you?
How do they get a hold of me?
Yep.
They could email me.
Okay.
No.
Will they find your email on the website?
I don't think so. On your.
Patty, isn't your email on the 100 Entrepreneurs?
Am I?
You can check with Patty on 100 Entrepreneurs, or you can send me an email, which is on 100 Entrepreneurs, and I can get you Patty's email.
Okay. All right. So, but you're not opposed, Patty, if people want to, if caregivers want to talk to you and tap into you, that you're not opposed to them contacting you, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm happy to help.
All right. You can email us here at All Marine Radio, and we'll pass along and get people in touch with the caregiver for Pat Horan. Pat, how about you? First of all, man, God bless you for everything that you've been through. Talk to me about what it's been like for you.
That's the weirdest thing that I try to tell people, and they just think, okay, whatever. But every day I wake up, and the first thing I do is I think, thank God I'm still alive. That's the greatest thing ever. The second thing is, like, Patty, everything she's done since I got hurt is just incredible. Putting me back together was because of her. And then after that, it's like, well, that's now, after almost 10 years now, this is like, I have one, when I go to the Stroke Comeback Center and I practice reading everything, just using your brain, and then I have to go to this one place for like an hour, like three times a week. That's just practicing your brain again, doing everything. That's great. And I go out with Wilson, and we go out. We try to go walking every day. It's kind of funny because I really don't like to go outside when it's cold outside. So Wilson and I are having a good time right now because it's warm outside.
I've got an email for you, Pat. Hey, Matt, first of all, this interview is awesome and ought to be mandatory listening for anybody who's in a position of responsibility in the United States military. My questions are some basic ones for Pat. His hobbies that he enjoyed before he was wounded, is he still able to do that? I've heard that even watching TV sometimes, because it's so busy, can be difficult with guys like that suffer from TBI. It sounds like if he was a rugby player, he was a sports guy. Does he still watch sports? Did he still have an appetite to watch sports, or were the modifications to his brain, did that change that? So, Pat, about the way you live now, tell us about that.
I guess, like, sports are okay. I mean, I used to love it, but now I'm kind of, like, out of it. But I could go watch rugby any second of something about it. I played it for more than 10 years, and I just loved it. It was just fun. But the only thing, like, TV, I'm not interested. It's really getting depressed watching the news in general, especially in D.C., because the news is all about what's going on with the U.S. But the only thing I can actually watch is Seinfeld. For whatever reason, I can still just watch it nonstop. So.
Hey, let me tell you. I watched a bunch of clips from Seinfeld the other day because somebody had mentioned it. And I want to tell you, that is the funniest still. That is the funniest show going. You know what? The lines they come up with. First of all, George Costanza might be the funniest character ever to be put on television.
I got a T-shirt. From George.
Right? Frank Costanza is right behind him. The way he screams and yells, yep. You know? Oh, the way Elaine shoves him when she gets excited. She goes, get out of here, right? And launches him across the room. That show is so funny. I'm just curious. I got another question for you, Pat, about living with traumatic brain injury. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. I had a TBI, and I, from IEDs, I suffer from migraine headaches now, very bad headaches. Does Pat have any kind of pain associated with his injury? Pat?
I can just say no. I have no idea why, but I did not have headaches. Once in a while, you know, I just eat something or something is bad, I get a headache, but I never get it. I'm not sure. I think maybe what happened when I actually I can't say the word, penetrating TBI, I think mine was so big, they took off so much of my brain that wasn't the small as like having a medium TBI. I think that was like they didn't have what happened to me. They had like a medium TBI. That's when your whole skull, or your head, sorry, no, your brain, sorry, brain, just gets shaked. And that's when you get headaches and it stays like that. Mine was like, you got to take it. They had to take it off. So I think that's why I don't have headaches that much at all.
Okay. All right. The another email. I'm curious about traveling, air flight, and things like that, or even being in an automobile for an extended period of time. Pat, flying okay? Driving long distances okay?
Yeah, I can't drive. I'm done. I can't see very good at all. So I can't drive anymore. It's kind of smart, but it's kind of lucky for me. When we drive, when we go somewhere, Patty's driving, we take maybe 3 hours and we stop because the dog needs to get outside
right. And
fuck around and go to, so it kind of works for me. Wilson helps me that way.
Wilson, I love that.
Yeah, and I think we flew to LA and, I'm okay. I get up and I always drink ginger ale when I'm flying for a while. It's always ginger ale because I'm one of those people that with the epilepsy, there's no reason to have beer anymore because I'd rather not have a seizure ever again. So I don't drink beers anymore. I used to love beer before, but, I think we'd stop like almost 3 hours and we'd land and then we go. So, but I'd get up every once and walk around and pretend like I'm going to the bathroom or whatever, just because you got to keep your legs moving around. So yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Well, honestly, the hardest part of traveling is getting on the plane. I don't know what happens, but now the airlines are selling the bulkhead for more money. So we need to sit in the bulkhead because of Wilson. And if you call ahead, they won't really change your seat. You have to do it like 10 minutes before you get on the flight. There's always a big commotion. Last flight, we didn't have anywhere to sit. We almost had to like exit the plane because they wouldn't find an appropriate seat for Pat and Wilson.
Ugh. You know, the airlines are, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but they're struggling a little bit these days relative to accommodating people.
And yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Although, to me, when they come and they tell you, hey, you gotta get off the plane, you know, get off the plane. You can settle it some other way. But do we need to have a fight and drag the guy off the plane? What does he say? No, I'm not getting off the plane. Come on, it's their business. I mean, I don't understand that. So I think he's partially to blame for his own broken nose. That's just maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't think I am, but they're like when they say, hey, you need to get off the plane. Why? Because we need your seat because of this. And here's what we're going to give you. Like, okay, I don't like it, but I'm not going to get my nose broken, for God's sake. But anyway, so not surprising. Well, Pat and Patty, I just want to tell you thank you for coming on and talking about this. It's one of the reasons that we started All Marine Radio, that will eventually branch into All Army Radio, just so you know. And Pat, you could be the first guest on All Army Radio, I promise you. But it's these kind of conversations that people need to hear. The path that both you guys have walked since Pat was wounded, how long it is, how difficult it is. And so when these programs come up, one, people know how important they are to real people, and two, other people that are out there that are having the same kind of issues, whether they suffered their traumatic brain injury in combat or not, they always take these interviews. And it never ceases to amaze me the emails I will get about these. And so I just want to thank you guys for coming on. And I hate saying thanks for sharing because it sounds so lame. And I hate when people say that to me, like, I'm that guy now. But thanks for telling your story. And as I said, if there's ever any time that I can help you guys, whether it's something you're doing and you want to get the word out or a cause you're affiliated with and you want to talk about, all you got to do is whistle and come on All Marine Radio anytime you want to.
I don't mind. I mean, the more they could tell more people about TBI, you know, because a lot of people, you know, I have no problem, because a lot of people, that was terrible too, from PTSD. That started from Vietnam, pretty much. It was started happening hundreds of years ago, but then they started realizing what PTSD is. But then now at least TBI is saving people's lives. And it's like, well, then they're saving them. Then what are you to do after that? I think they're the next one to keep getting better and better for people like me. So I don't have a problem that they have. If they want to have more questions about that have TBI, then, you know, find out. Ask us. Ask you. Ask Bob, you know.
Yeah, well, all I'm doing, I'm just asking you. And when we get off the phone here, Nielsen's next task is to get Tim Maxwell. And what's Tim's wife's name? Shannon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shannon, his wife.
Yeah, we need to get Tim and Shannon on to talk about what they're doing on their farm, and they do a whole bunch of good stuff. So I want to thank you guys for doing this. And you guys are Pat. You're a credit to the Marine Corps and the United States military for you know how you stuck with it. And we know it's not easy. You're part of our tribe, and we love you, man. And Patty, I know it's not what you signed up for, but God bless you for being the kind of wife and the kind of woman that can that has done the stuff that you've done, that has made your guys' lives what it is today. So immensely proud to call you guys comrades and friends. And again, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you, Nielsen. I'm not going to say anything close to that about you, but you're okay.
Okay, that's good enough.
That's good enough. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you guys, and again, Patty and Pat, if you guys are doing something and I find out about it and you didn't come on All Marine Radio, I'm gonna be pissed. Okay.
Okay, we'll let you know.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for that. For those of you who don't know, Bob has crossed paths with so many people that have been wounded and keeps track of so many different soldiers and Marines and sailors and airmen and their stories. He's the greatest asset of All Marine Radio right now in terms of him bringing these incredible stories and people doing incredible things, whether they're caregivers or soldiers or whoever. Just awesome, awesome stuff. So, Nielsen, well done, my friend. Well done. Now it's on to the Maxwells.
Yep.
All right.
Will do.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Bob Nielsen here. Yeah, how about that? Who knew Nielsen was that good? I don't know what to say when you hear stories like that. It's humbling. It's humbling. You know, and I tell people, in that organization, that guy calls me sir. What a joke, huh? What a joke. But again, that was Pat and Patty Horan. Pat, retired captain, United States Marine, United States Army, infantryman, medically retired after a gunshot wound to the head. Still living a good life. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio as we wrap it up here on a Monday. Next.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good,
but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.